Today's share in the Daf Yomi is a Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Ayin. We begin on the very top line, Ayin Omer Aleph. We continue to learn for the safety and the success of all the forces in Eretz Yisrael against the Rishayim, Hamas, Yimach Shemom, Zichram. They should safely return the Chatufim, Benhera, in good health, and there should be Shalom HaKol Yisrael. We pick up with the words Amri Nardoi, Ayin Omer Aleph in the top line. We'll see exactly what we're talking about. We're going to again bring down Rav Yochanan's statement from yesterday where he said that if a person owns a item but he doesn't have it in his possession, somebody stole it, so neither that person who really owns the item isn't able to be makdish it, so too the ganav who has it in his possession but doesn't own it, so he also can't be makdish the item. So this is an idea that we had expressed yesterday that neither of them can be makdish at each because of the reason that I just said. This one doesn't own it, and this one doesn't have it in his possession. So, Ami Nardoi, the Chachamim in Nardoi, they said as follows. Based upon this din of Rav Yochanan, lo kazvinun urkisa amitaltali. We don't write in urkisa. In Urkasa, Rashi tells us over here, is a shtar harshah. It means basically giving someone permission to go and act on your behalf. Elsewhere, Rashi brings down that this comes from the word Orchon Shilton. So this is a Gemara in Bava Basra, where it tells us that this Urkisa means giving permission or the right, Hashlota Shishlitu Albaldino Litovo, that you're giving basically somebody else the right to act on your behalf, what we would call in English a power of attorney, that they can go and act on your behalf. Even though they're not a litigant with the other person, you're giving them the Harshah, the permission, the right to go and act on your behalf. So the Chachamim Nardoi said that we don't write such a document of allowing somebody to go and take your place and act on your behalf for mitaltali, for movable items. Why is that? So I'm Rav Ashi LaMeimar, my time. What's the rationale behind that? That's what Rav Ashi asked LaMeimar. So LaMeimar responded and told him, Amalei, because of this din of Rav Yochanan, Mishum de Rav Yochanan, that just like the Amar Rav Yochanan, Gozav lo nisyashu habalim, if a thief took something from someone else, so Ganav stole something from Yankel, and Yankel did not give up hope of getting it back. He says, I know this thief, or if I don't know the thief, I'm sure the police will find him, and I'm not being miyayish. I don't give up hope of getting my item back. So then he still owns it. The original owner still owns it. And the ganav, while it's in his possession, he certainly doesn't own it. So in this situation of Yochanan, it said, Shneim eni yichol hakdish. Neither of them is able to go be makdish that property at this point in time. Number one, the ganav can't do this. Zelefish enu shalom. Because it's not his. Even though it's in his property, it's in his possession, it's not his. And the original owner, the real owner, while he's the real owner, it's not in his possession. So Rav Yochanan said, you can't do it. So to over here, the metaltali aren't in the person's possession right now. It is in the other person, the other litigant's possession. So when Reuven is litigating with Shimon, and the metaltali are in Shimon's possession, so Reuven doesn't have the right to go and authorize someone with a shtar harshah, with authorization to go and collect on my behalf, because it's metaltali. It's not in your possession. Just like you can't be mocked to something that's not in your possession, you can't go and litigate something that's not in your possession to give somebody else the rishus to go and litigate on your behalf. You, of course, can go litigate, but you can't give somebody a shtar hashah. That's what the Chachamim Nardoi said based upon this din of Rav Yochanan. That's the first version that we have of what the Chachamim Nardoi said. Ikadi Arme, a second way of what the Chachamim Nardoi said was as follows. Arme Nardoi, the Chachamim Nardoi said, lo kasvin an urkas so ametaltali. But they qualified it and said you can't write somebody a shtar harshah to go and act on behalf in regards to metaltali, only the kafre. That is where the other litigant, Shimon, says, hey, that's not your metaltali. That's my metaltali. What are you doing? It has nothing to do with you. Only in that situation did the Chacham and Ardoi say that Reuven can't assign someone to go litigate on his behalf to go get the metaltali back from Shimon. Why not? Because, Taima, the reasoning is, the kafre, since Shimon is denying it, so when Reuven writes a shtar harshah, listen, you, Yanko, go and litigate on my behalf, because this metaltali is mine, so the merse kishikra. It looks like he's lying. As Rashi says, the chasminon ashikra, it looks like when they're signing the shtar harshah, that it looks like it's a sheker, it's falsehood, because Shimon says, hey, that's not your metaltali. The yovel is shaliach midi de lesle gabeher, because Shimon says, that's not yours. So what is this document saying that you're authorizing Yankel to go litigate on your behalf for these metaltali that are yours, they're not yours. So the document has the semblance, the appearance, the mechze kishikra. And that's why the Nardoi said you can't do this, because Shimon is denying it. But Shimon is not denying that it's Reuven. So there's some other reason why there's litigation over here, or there is no. He just, I'm not giving it to you until you force me to in court. So then, in that situation, if Shimon doesn't deny it, so then it's not Merzei Keshikra, so then this Shtar Harshah that Reuven is writing for Yankel to go and litigate on his behalf, so then it's not a Sheker. It doesn't have the semblance or the appearance even of Sheker. So then, the Nardoi say, Kasvinon, you're absolutely allowed to go and write down a Shtar in that situation. Our Harshah will work in that situation for Metaltali. Now, once we have this din from the Nardoi, we continue discussing what the Chachamim from Nardoi held in regards to the Shtar Arkisa. So, the Amrei Nardoi, they furthermore said, the Chachamim Nardoi said, this Shtar Arkisa, Urkisa, the Lo Kisiv Bey, it doesn't write in it, Zil Dun Uzichei the Apik Lenavsheh, if the Shtar Harsha doesn't include in it the wordage that says, when Reuven says to Yaakov, go and litigate on my behalf, if it doesn't say, zeal, go, dun, go and litigate, uzichei, and win, the apek linavshach, and win the case for yourself, as if it's you, so then, les be meshasha, then it's not a real shtar hasha. This person who's acting on behalf of Reuven, in my case, Yanko, who's acting with the power of attorney, with the Shtar HaShah, on behalf of Reuven, so the Shtar HaShah has to say, you are acting on my behalf, as if you are winning this case for yourself. Zil go dun uzichei the apek lenashach. Go and collect this on your behalf. Okay? If it doesn't say that, it's not a real Shtar HaShah. Why? My time up. What's the reasoning? Mishum de armalei hech. Because the defendant in this situation, Shimon, the other litigant, he can say, hey, who are you? Lav bal dvarim didi at. I don't have to go to court with you. Who are you, Yanko? You have no standing in this case. Right? The courts can say, you have no standing. You have no right to go bring this case to litigation. Who are you? I don't know you. It's not yours. So the Shtar HaShah has to say that, yes, Yanko is acting on behalf of Reuven, and he's collecting for himself, as if he was Reuven. In that situation, Shimon can't say, hey, who are you? Lav bal dvarim didiyat. No, in that situation, you are the bal dvarim. You are the litigant. Furthermore, Amar Abaye, Abaye says, likewise, if it were to say in the Shtar HaShah, lemechse lishlish revia, not that you're collecting the entire thing on your behalf, but even if it says that you're collecting half of it, lemechs, or lishlish, a third of it, or revia, even if you're only getting a percentage of this litigation, since he's able to go and litigate for that percentage, that half, that third, that fourth, so migo de mishtoye dino apalga mishtoye dina kula. So then, Shimon, the other litigant, can't say, hey, you're not a party to this litigation, you have no standing over here. He can't say lav baldorim didia, because at least for 25%, 33%, 50%, he is a baldorim. So once you can go litigate for this, Abai says, you can go litigate for the rest of it as well. Furthermore, Amar Meimer, Meimer said, "I tofas lo mavkinon mine." If this person, the one who was given permission by Reuven with the Shtar HaShah to go and litigate, if he grabbed the item, then "I tofas lo mavkinon mine." Then we don't take it away from him. Rashi has two explanations what this means over here. "The tofas" means this shaliach, this person with the Shtar HaShah who was authorized by Reuven to go litigate against Shimon. If he goes grabs the item, then he doesn't want to give it back to Reuven. Says, I got it. So, lo mavkinam, we don't take it away from him. So, the two pshatim Rashi says, the first one is, afagav de lo kosev bey ofik lenavshech. Even though it didn't say, go and collect it for yourself, from the fact that he was authorized to go and do so, even though the Shtar HaShah didn't say it properly, when he went and grabbed that item, it's now his. And Reuven can't force it from him because he grabbed it. That's the first pshatim Rashi. Rashi, however, brings down the second shot, which he says better. Zeikar, he likes the second shot better. He says lishnachrina, the itofas shuliach mamon shahotzi. If this litigant who's acting on behalf of Reuven, this shuliach goes and takes the money from Shimon, the ikuliatzu, and he keeps it for himself, lo mavkino mine. We don't go and take it from him. We don't go and force him to give it back to Reuven, because apparently, according to this shot, it was written, go and collect it, va'apik l'nafshech, and keep it for yourself. So as soon as it says, go keep it for yourself, so Rashi prefers this shot, and he says, lo mavkinam, we don't take it back from this guy who was authorized on behalf of Reuven, Yanko, to go and collect from Shimon. If he went and collected it, Reuven can't force him to give it to him. Kach b'tzasi, Rashi says, kosi b'tshuvas ha'gonim, Rashi says, he saw this in the Gaonim, and there's a ikur, he prefers this shot. Okay, that's what Amemar says. Ravashi disagrees. Ravashi Amar, Kivan de Kasrile, since he wrote to this Shaliach who's acting on his behalf, Reuven writes to Yanko who's acting on his behalf, he gives him the power of attorney, the Shtar HaShah, called the Misane Mindino Kabilis Alai. I accept upon myself anything that you had in regards to cost expenses for collecting this item. So shaliach shavye. So he's making him a shaliach in this situation, and therefore he would be allowed to go and collect from him, because he says, I'm going to pay you all your expenses, but I get to keep the money that you go get from Shimon. If he wrote it in this way, so Rav Ashi says, kol dimis'ane min dina kabilus alai, all your expenses, as Rashi says, kol dimis'ane implies, Rashi says, I'm a shaliach shavit. It clearly is only making him into a shaliach. And therefore, according to Rav Ashi, he disagrees with the Meimor. Rashi says, e tofitz mafkina mine, that if he then keeps the money that he got in the litigation from Shimon, so he doesn't have a right to go and keep that. It will be taken away from him in the court. According to Rashi, Ulishna Kamar, Nami, Rashi says this works not only to the second shot where it was written that he is authorized to go and collect for himself, but even the first shot where it wasn't written that he's authorized to go collect it for himself, Itofas, he's not allowed to go and keep it. Mafkino mine, we go and take it away from him. Because, Dor Shliach Biyamu, because in this understanding of Rav Ashi, he's purely a sholiach, and the heavy ketovis about hope, and he's going and taking it on behalf of Reuven. Therefore, if he doesn't give it to Reuven, Reuven can take him to court and we'll win. That's the first understanding of Rav Ashi arguing with a neighbor. Because the Amar, there is a second way to understand it. He says Rav Ashi is saying shut for shavye. He's not making him into a shaliach. He's making him into a partner, but he's only making him into a partner for the expense part of it. So let's say the item that Reuven is trying to get back from Shimon is worth $100. And Reuven assigns Yankel to be his power of attorney. He gives him the Shtar Shah. And it costs Yankel $50 to go and win the litigation against Shimon. So all Yankel's entitled to is this $50. The other $50 deducted from the original $100, then will go back to Reuven. Nu, Lamai Nakim, you know, what's exactly the difference between these two versions of Ravashi responding to a Meimar? So the Gemara says, L'mitvas palga. So according to the second version, then he is a shutuf. So he's entitled to keep that expenses that he went and incurred in order to go and win this case. According to the first version, he's only a shliach, so Reuven has to pay him, but he's not entitled to keep any of the money that he got from Shimon. That's a separate transaction, so to say. We understand this correctly. In the second version, so he actually can keep, he got the $100 and he deducts the $50 from the $100 and only gets to give $50 to Reuven. In the first scenario, if I understand this correctly, he would have to give the $100 to Reuven, and then Reuven has to pay him $50 for his expenses. So that's the nafka mina. If he went and grabbed the $50 already, can Reuven demand it back or not? The second case, no. In the first case, technically Reuven could demand the entire $100, and he says, no, I'll pay you at some other point in time the $50 expenses that I owe you. How do we paskim hilchasa shaliach shavya? Passing like the first version, that he's a shaliach, he's not a shutuf, he's a shaliach. So therefore, the shlichus is a separate accounting than is the collection of this debt from Shimon, and therefore, that's how the Gemara says, we come to the conclusion, we pass like this first version of Rav Ashi. Okay, we're going to the next Mishnah. Ganav al pishnayim. Here we have a situation where a person stole something, Nebuch the Ganav stole something from Reuven, and we have witnesses that he stole it. And then he would have to pay kefil, obviously, he's a Ganav, and he would have to pay kefil. But what happens then if this Ganav, v'tovach u'mochar al piyem? If this Ganav went and shechted it or sold it, and it's the same two witnesses, or al pishnayim achayim, or two different witnesses saw the shechita or the mechira. So regardless of whether it's the same pair of witnesses, we'll see in the Gemara, the Nafkamin over here, or whether it's a different set of witnesses, we have witnesses that he stole it, we have witnesses that he shechted it or sold it, so therefore he has to pay. Mishalim tashlum arba v'chamisha, you have to pay because you have witnesses. In order to extract money, you need witnesses. Here we have the witnesses, both for the geneva, as well as for the tficha or mechira, and therefore he'll have to pay the dalad hay, dalad for a seh, hay for a shor, as we've explained previously. Mishnah continues and says, what happens if Ganav u'mochar b'Shabbos? And this introduces us to a concept that we've had many, many times, kom le midirabo mine. The taloch is, if simultaneously a person commits a crime for which he's punishable by either Mises Beistin, or also it could be Makis. So if a person has to go and pay a higher penalty, such as Mises Beistin, or even Malkis, so then you don't give the monetary payment. So you're a potter, so to say, from the financial obligation if you have a higher payment, such as Mises Beistin. Let's leave it at that. For now, that's kom le midirabo mine. We only make him pay the higher of the two, which is Misa, rather than the financial penalty. So he's actually potter from the financial penalty. And as we pointed out, this is true even if you can't actually give the Mises Beistin. There are no witnesses, for example. He wasn't given proper asra. So even though you can't give Mises Beis Din, but since he would be Mechuyah for Mises Beis Din, so we still apply the principle of Kom Lemi the Rabbi Mine, and he wouldn't have to pay the financial penalty. So here, the question will be, he stole, so he's going to be Chayav Kefil, and then he does Mechira, so that would make him normally Chayav to pay Dala Behei, but does Mechira on Shabbos. Now, is there an Issa Doraisa over here, that if you sell something on Shabbos, that you're therefore going to be Chayav Misa? So the answer is no. It's not an issur d'oraisa, it's an issur d'rabbanan to buy and sell things on Shabbos because of the gzeira that the Chachamim said that maybe you come to write it down. And therefore, it's a gzeira. Don't buy and sell things on Shabbos. Don't make kinyanim on Shabbos. But that's only an issur d'rabbanan. So therefore, we don't apply the principle of kum lemi d'rabbi mineh because you're not chayav mises beis din. It's not a d'oraisa. So if a person steals something, rachmana litzlan, and then he sells it on Shabbos, so then he will be chayav the dala behei. That's what the Mishnah will tell us later on, but let's continue in the Mishnah first. So in the case of either ganav u'mocha b'Shabbos, or in the case of ganav u'mocha l'avodah zarah, you sell it to Avodah Zarah. Now, that's not an Issa D'oraisa to sell something to Avodah Zarah. Again, it's an Issa D'rabbanan because you may come to go and then worship the Avodah Zarah. You may come to facilitate somebody to worship the Avodah Zarah. So therefore, me the Rabbani, you're not allowed to go sell it to the Avodah Zarah. But here, you're not over an Issa D'oraisa. So you stole it and you then sold it. So you are going to be Chayav Dala V'hei in this situation as well. And the Mishnah continues and tells us another case. Ganav, if you stole something and then you did Shechita on it, the Tavach B'Yom Kippur. Now, on Yom Kippur, there isn't the din of Mises Beis Din. On Yom Kippur, Rachmana Litzlan, if somebody does any of the melachas that are also in Shabbos on Yom Kippur, so Ein Bein Shabbos Yom Kippur, they're both also. There is no even heter of Ochel Nefesh on Yom Kippur like there is on the Shloshu Golem. So there's absolutely nothing that is also on Shabbos that's permitted on Yom Kippur. But the level of the punishment is different. For Shabbos, it's an Issa D'oraisa of Skila, of Misas Beis Din. In terms of Yom Kippur, if a person transgresses Yom Kippur, so then he's only going to be Chayiv Kares, which is a lower level punishment. And therefore, Kares doesn't apply the principle of Kom Lemi the Rabbi Mineh. The post can bring down. Incidentally, if they had warned him and said that if you're going to do this, whatever this Malach is on Yom Kippur that you're going to do, and they warned him, they give him Asra, then they give him Malkus. So if he were to get Malkus, so then there would be the principle of Kom Lemi the Rabbi Mineh, and he wouldn't have to pay. But here we're talking about there are no witnesses warning him that you're going to get Malkus. So in this situation, his punishment would be Kares. So Kares, we don't apply the din of Kom Lemi the Rabbi Mineh. And this too will be a case. If a ganav stole something and then he shechted it on Yom Kippur, so he's chayav Kares, but he would still have to pay the penalty, the financial penalty over here, because we don't apply Kom Lemi the Rabbi Mineh. The Mishnah continues another case. If you're ganav mishal aviv, the tavach u'mocher. If you go steal something from your father, you stole a sheep or a shor from your father, and then you went, indeed you did shechita or mechira on it, so then you're also going to be chayav dala v'hei in this situation. And this is true, the Mishnah says, even though v'yachar kach me'saviv, even though Nebuch, your father, passed away before you actually paid the money, and therefore, now the set or the shor belongs to you. Let's say you're the only son. You're the only inheritor over here. So it belongs to you. So you might have thought that there is no din of dala v'hei over here. So the taka, the din is, there is a din of dala v'hei, and if there were the other brothers over here, so then they would be entitled to go and inherit that dala v'hei. If the other brothers were there, so they would be proportionately entitled to take the dala v'hei, because you owe that to the estate. The fact that you're now an owner, that's only after your father passed away, when the already payment for the dala v'hei had already occurred. So this is a debt that's owed to your father, so then the Yerusha will divide it up amongst all the brothers. Then the Mishnah continues. It says, "Ganav v'tovach v'yachakach hikdish." If a person stole something and then he did shechita on it, and then he was makdish the shechted animal. So here too, in all of these cases, the Mishnah here tells us now, "Meshalim tashlumi arba v'chamish." You pay dala v'hei. You have to go and pay the full amount because when you did the shechita and either the tricha or the mechira, there was an obligation, even though subsequently there is no obligation. But then there was, so we don't take that into account. You're chayav dala v'hei. Mishnah continues with additional things that you're going to be chayav dala v'hei. Ganav v'tovach, but not for eating purposes, l'rufua purposes. If a person stole something, rechmona litzlan, and then he shechted it, so he's chayav dala v'hei. Aye, he's not shechting it for eating purposes, but he does a kasher shechita on it, and he does it for rufua purposes. You know, the doctor says you have to have this type of meat, or he's shechting it to apply the schmaltz on his wound, whatever it may be. So he's shechting it not for the purposes of eating it, but it's a kasher shechita. So then he chayav dala v'hei as well. Or you shechted it for dog meat, but you shechted it properly. So you did a proper shechita, and then you decide, nah, you don't want hamburger tonight, so you give it to your dogs. Ola klovim. So there still is, according to the Tana of our Mishnah, the din of dala v'hei. Likewise, hashochet, if you did a proper shechita on it, the nimtzei trefa. But then when they do the internal bedikos, they see that it has adhesions in the lung that make it into a trefa. So you shechted it properly, but it turns out the animal's a trefa. or hashochet chulin ba'azara, or you shechted something properly, but in the wrong place. You shechted in the azara. You're not allowed to shech chulin in the azara. So in these cases, the Tana of Amishnah says, Mishalim tashlumi arbav chamisha. All of these, since you did a gneva and you did a shrita, albeit it was not for the purposes of eating, it was for the purposes of refuah, or for your dogs, or that you shechted and it was a treifa, or you shechted it in the wrong place in the azara. So the Tanakam of Amishnah says you still pay dalav hey, mishalim tashlumi arbav chamisha. Rabbi Shimon disagrees on the last two cases. Rabbi Shimon poter bishnei elu. In the last two cases, Rabbi Shimon says, in the case of that you shechted chulin biazara, and the case before that, you shechted and it turns out to be a treifa, so Rabbi Shimon lishitaso. Rabbi Shimon also says that a shechita she'ena re'uya, lav shechita. A shechita that doesn't allow you to go eat the animal is not called shechita in halacha. It was a physical act of shechita, but it didn't result in making the animal kosher li'achila, so therefore Rabbi Shimon argues, in the case where you shechted chulin biazara, you're not allowed to eat it. It's aser biachila. And in the case where you shech something and it turns out to be a treifa, it's aser biachila. So Rishimon says, this is a shechita shein aruya. It's not a shechita that accomplished allowing it to be eaten. And therefore, Rishimon says, a shechita shein aruya l'shechita is not called shechita for the din of dalav hay. In the earlier cases, in the second part of the Mishnah, where you shechted it l'refuah, it is able to be eaten. Albeit, you didn't shecht it for that purposes, but it was a kosher shechita. And in the case where you're feeding it to your dogs, it was a kosher shechita. No, you didn't want to eat it, but it was a kosher shechita. So Rabbi Shimon doesn't argue in those cases that you chayav dalav hay. It's only in the cases where it's not a kosher shechita. It's a shechita she'ena re'uya. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon l'shitaso argues and says that's not called shechita, and it's not called shechita in regards to other dinim. It's also not called shechita in regards to dalav hay. That's the machlokas. Let's start the Gemara. Gemara starts off and says that our Mishnah, which said in the beginning of the Mishnah, that if two sets of witnesses occurred, you have one set of witnesses saying that there was a Geneva, and a second set of witnesses, that was the second part of the ratio of the Mishnah, a second set of witnesses came along and said that you either did Shechita or Tvicha, so our Mishnah said that does make you Chayav Dalav Hay, and our Gemara wants to say that that's not in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Lema Maslisa Dolk Rabbi Akiva, because if it were Rabbi Akiva, the Rabbi Akiva, Ha'amai Rabbi Akiva holds that when the Torah tells us that al pishnayim edim yakum davar, when it says that you need two witnesses to go and establish something, so the word davar teaches us velo chatzi davar, that the two witnesses have to testify for the entire davar and not for half of the davar. So here it sounds like in the Mishnah that the two witnesses say that it was geneva and two separate witnesses say that it was tvicha o mechira. So therefore, each set of witnesses is not testifying to the entire matter, and therefore, Rabbi Akiva would say, if it's a different set of witnesses, you wouldn't be chayav dalav hay. According to Rabbi Akiva, you'd only be chayav dalav hay if it was the same set of witnesses that saw the geneva, and the same set of witnesses that saw the tvicha or the mechira. The Tanya, where do we see this from? Because we have a brisa that Rav Yossi says, I'm a Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi holds that Kishaholach Abba Chalafta. Rav Yossi's father was Chalafta. We have Rav Yossi for Chalafta throughout Shas. So Rav Yossi says, when my father Chalafta, he's allowed to say his father's name, his first name, because he calls him with a respectful title of my father. So a person's allowed to say, my father so and so. When you get an aliyah, they ask you your father's name. You're allowed to say, yeah, I'm so and so, Ben so and so. How are you allowed to say your father's name? You're not supposed to call your father by his first name. So therefore, when you using the proper terminology, and he calls him Abba Chalafta, my father Chalafta, so he's allowed to say that. So that's a title of respect. So I'm Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi said, when his father Abba Chalafta went to learn Eitzel Rav Yochanan ben Nuri Lilmo Torah, he went to learn by Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. Alternatively, there's another version that says, it was that Rav Yochanan ben Nuri went to learn Eitzel Abba Chalafta, as we turn to Daf Ayin Omud Beis. So that the second version of this was that it was Rav Yochanan ben Nuri who went to learn by Abba Chalafta, as opposed to Abba Chalafta went to learn by Yochanan ben Nuri. In any event, what happened there? Amar lo, he said to him, Hare she'achola shana rishona bifnei shnayim. There is a din called Cheskes Abatin, that if a person has the shtar, of course, that he owned and bought the property, Reuven has a shtar that he bought the property from Shimon, so then Shimon can't tell him, hey, I'm the owner of it. Because he says, Reuven says, listen, I got a shtar that you sold it to me. Yeah, I'm molded, you were the former owner, but he sold it to me. But let's say he loses the shtar. So the Gemara teaches in Cheskes Abatin, that if a person makes a chazaka for three consecutive years and there's no error and there's no But he's saying, hey, you're on my property. What are you doing on my property? So he has what's called a chazaka. So a chazaka with a taina. He can't just say, well, nobody asked me to leave, so I stayed here. No, he has to have a taina. I bought it from you, Shimon. Reuven says, I bought it from you, Shimon. And I've been living here for 3 years already with no era. Nobody's saying that it's not my field. And therefore, I wasn't careful with my shtar anymore, and I lost my shtar. But I have a taina that I bought it from you, and I have ede chazaka. I have chazaka, witnesses that I was here for 3 years. So then Reuven will win the case in court. So, what happens if those witnesses aren't one set of witnesses for all 3 years? So, the question was, I have a taina that I bought it from you, Reuven says to Shimon, and these two guys, witnesses one and two, they can attest to the fact, they testify to the fact that I was here the first year eating the produce from this field, and I have a different set of witnesses, Shnia Bifnei Shnaim. I have a different set of witnesses three and four, that can testify that I was eating the produce from this field in the second year. And I have a third set, Shlishas, witnesses five and six, that can testify that I was eating them in the field for the third year. Bifnei Shnaim, I have witnesses for the first year, two separate witnesses, the second year, two different witnesses, and the third year, two different witnesses. So he asked the question, either Abba Chalafta answers Yochanan Nuri, or Yochanan Nuri answers Abba Chalafta. Mahu, what is the halacha? So Amar Lo, so the other one, whichever one was asking the question, the other one responded to him and said, Harei Zu Chazaka. This is a valid Chazaka. You have a taina that you purchased the field from Shimon, plus the Chazaka of 3 years. This is an adequate Chazaka, even though it's three separate sets of witnesses. So Amar Lo, whichever one asked the question, said, me too, I agree with you. Afani Omekein, I agree with you 100%. However, Rabbi Akiva doesn't. Elish Rabbi Akiva, Cholek Badover. Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Shai Rabbi Kiva Omer, because Rabbi Kiva's opinion is based upon the pasuk, Al Pishnaim Edim Yakum Dover, so Dover Velo Chatzi Dover. So Rabbi Kiva would say, no, you need to have one set of witnesses for all 3 years. You can't divide it up and say two sets of witnesses year one, a different two set of witnesses, a set of witnesses for year two, and a different set of witnesses for year three. Rabbi Kiva would say that's no good. That's called Chatzi Dover and not a Dover Sholem. So, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri and Abba Chalafta disagree with Rabbi Akiva. But here we see the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, ergo, the Tana of our Mishnah must not be like Rabbi Akiva. Because the Tana of our Mishnah indicates that if you have a different set of witnesses for the Geneva, then for the Tvicha Mechira, it still is going to pay Dalai Behe. Rabbi Akiva seemingly would not say so. Where it says, Lav Dafka, Amar Abayi says, no. Afil Tem Rabbi Akiva. No, our Mishnah could even be in accord with Rabbi Akiva. Why is it not a problem of Chatzi Dover? She explains as follows. Doesn't Rabbi Akiva agree? Mila Moda Rabbi Akiva, Vishnaim Omrim Kidesh, Ushnaim Omrim Baal. If you have two witnesses come along and say, yes, this woman was a married woman. We were at her chasna, Mazel Tov, beautiful wedding. And then a different set of witnesses come along and say, Nebuch, this woman who's a married woman, she committed adultery with somebody. And therefore, she's Chayevis Misa, for the act of adultery. So you have two witnesses saying that she's a married woman, but a different two witnesses saying that Nebuch, this woman, committed adultery. So Rashi says, the two witnesses, the first witness come along and say she got married in the month of Nisan. And then Nebuch, in the month of Iyar, two other witnesses come along and say that she committed adultery. So here you have two different sets of witnesses. And nevertheless, doesn't Rabbi Akiva, the Avogad, God, the Eidei Biyar, Tzrichei, Lady Kiddushin, even though the witnesses that say she committed adultery would be not being Mechayeves, her Misa, if in fact there weren't witnesses that she was already a married woman. So the second group requires the first group. So nevertheless, Kivan de Ede Kiddushin, Lo Tzricha Le'ede Bia. But the first group doesn't need the second group. Their testimony stands on its own. So the two witnesses who say that she got married in the month of Nisan, so whatever happened in Iyar is irrelevant. Their testimony stands. So doesn't Rabbi Akiva Moda in this case, that in this situation, Dovar Korina Bey, when the second witnesses come along, that's called a complete Dovar. It's not called a Chatzi Dovar. Because the first group of witnesses is a complete Dovar. Because they don't need the adultery in order to prove that this woman is a married woman. That's a separate standing testimony. So the first two witnesses that said that this woman got married in Nisan, that's a 100% Dover. That's a complete testimony. So since theirs is a complete testimony, so then the second group, even though technically they wouldn't be Mechayevis, the woman, for adultery to make her have Mises based in, nevertheless, since even though they need the first set of witnesses, but since the first set of witnesses stands on their own, so the second set of witnesses, even according to Rabbi Akiva, is called Dover and not Chatzi Dover. So just like in this case with the married woman, Nebuchadnezzar committing adultery, so to Hochanami, in our case here in our Mishnah, one could say that Rabbi Akiva would hold, Abba God the Eidei Tvicha, Tzricha Eidei Gneiva, in order to be Chayav Dalei Behei. So the ones who said, we saw the Tvicha, the Shechita, or we saw the Bechira, the sale, so they need the Geneva in order to make Chayav Dalei Behei. But the ones who saw the Geneva, they don't need the Shechita or Bechira witnesses, because they're going to be mechayiv the ganav to pay kefil on their own. So kivon the ede geneva lo tzrich le'ede tzricha, since the first two are 100% dover on their own, they don't need the fact that it's also shechta the stolen. Their testimony alone will make them be chayiv kefil. So therefore, dover karina bay, the first set of witnesses is called a full dover and not a chatzi dover, and therefore similarly, the second set of witnesses is called a full dover and not a chatzi dover. So therefore, Abaye says that our mishnah could even be understood according to Rabbi Akiva. No, what are the Rabbanan now? This drasha of the Api Shnaim Edim Yakum Dovar, so what do they do with this drasha? Do they not agree that there's this Dovar, you have to testify the entire thing, the Lochati Dovar? The Chum also agree with that. So how come they say that the two witnesses, let's say in the first year for the Chazaka, can be separate than the two witnesses in the second year of the Chazaka, can be separate from the two witnesses in the third year of the Chazaka? Why don't they hold like this opinion of Rabbi Kiva that you need Dover and Lochati Dover? So the Rabbanan, Hai Dover, Lochati Dover, Lemute Mai, they agree with this drasha, but not in the way that Rabbi Kiva holds it, Lemaisa. So what do they do? What's an example, according to the Chachamim, of Dover and no Chatzi Dover? So the Gemara says, the Chachamim hold, Lemute Echad Omer. If you have two witnesses that are coming to testify that a woman is a gedola, this could have nafkamina for any punishments that you give a gedola, but you don't give a katana. Let's say she was mechalel Shabbos, so if she's a katana, she's not chayav misa. If chayav misa, if she's a gedola, she would be chayav misa. If it's adultery, if she's a katana, she wouldn't be chayav misa. If she's a gedola, she would be chayav misa. So you need to testify that she's not only chronologically, from an age point of view, above the age of Bas Mitzvah, she also has to have physical maturity if you're going to give her a punishment of basis. She has to be a Vadai Gedola, and you need to have testimony that she has reached physical maturity. So if you have one set of witnesses, Limute Echad Omer, and of this one set of witnesses, one of them testifies Echad Begaba. One of them testifies that she has a hair, Rashi says, Seyar Ruisi Bekishre Yetzbiosa. He says that the version that we have of Rashi over here, it says that he saw a hair on the knuckles. Some say this is just a euphemism, and it doesn't mean the knuckles, it means in the back of the Erva area. Others say no, that you don't need pubic hairs, it could be hairs on any part of the body where you normally only have hair there if you reach a level of maturity. So you have one of the two witnesses that says she has a hair that would be satisfying a pubic hair definition. And the other witness, the Echad Omer, Echad Bekresa, she has a hair on her stomach. And again, some suggest this is a euphemism, it means for Osamakum, and you basically have two witnesses, but each is only testifying about one hair. So this is where the Chacham would say, that's called the Chatzi Dover. Witness number one is only testifying about one pubic hair, that doesn't make her into a Gedola. And witness number two is testifying about one pubic hair, that doesn't make her into a Gedola. Ah, you combine the two of them, you now have two pubic hairs, the equivalent of two pubic hairs, so then she would be a Gedola. But that is where the Chacham say you need Dover below Chatzi Dover. Where it says that can't be it, because neither one is not even a havamina to think that this is a dover. Hay chatzi dover v'chatzi edusu. This doesn't get off the ground. Each witness alone is not saying enough to say she's a gedola. Witness number one says, I saw one here. Witness number two says, I saw one here. Neither of them is saying something that would make her into a gedola. So therefore, this can't be what you need a pasuk to tell me that that's not acceptable. So it says, you're right. Ella, according to the Chachamim, you need the pasuk dover, velo chatzi dover, to teach us Ella Mute, the following case. We have two witnesses coming along, shnayim, not one. Two witnesses come along, and omrim echa begaba. One is on the knuckle of her hand, or in the osa makam in a different place, either on a stomach or in a different place of the osamakum. So you basically now have two witnesses saying that there's one here and two witnesses saying that there's another here. So hani, bottom line is, amrei katani. The first two witnesses are only testifying that she has one here. So that's a full definition over here of dover, but it's only testifying about chatzi dover. It's not enough to make her into gdola. So two witnesses saying that she has one hair, and another two witnesses, Ani Amri Katana, the other two witnesses saying, we only saw one hair. So by definition, she's a katana. We can't combine these two witnesses to make her into a gdola. So that's where the chacham need. You need to testify about the whole thing, dover, and not chatzi dover. So here's the case where the two witnesses say one hair, and two witnesses say a different hair. You can't combine the two witnesses because you need dover and not chatzi dover. But in the case of chazkas habatim, where two witnesses say for 1 year, that's a perfectly valid statement. That's a complete full statement. That is 1 year of the 3 years. And then a different set of two witnesses say the second year, and a different set of witnesses say the third year. So each one stands fully on its own. And therefore, according to the Chacham, you can combine them. Again, according to Rabbi Akiva, that's still called dover below chatzi dover. That's still called the chatzi dover, and it wouldn't satisfy according to Rabbi Akiva. Okay, that's the machlokas about dover, chatzi dover. Gemara continues and says, then we had the case in the Mishnah of Ganav, Umachar, Bishabes, Vechule. All the cases that we had, that we said, since it's not a Komle Midiravimne situation, the Ganav would have to pay Dalid Vahey. Now, the Gemara questions and says, but we have a Braisa that seems to disagree with the Mishnah and says, you wouldn't pay Dalid Vahey. Well, Tanya, it says, if somebody stole an animal in the Braisa and then sold it on Shabbos, you, in fact, do not pay Dalid Vahey. That goes against our Mishnah, which says that you do pay Dalid Vahey. Why in the Braisa is it a Komle Midiravimne situation and you're parted from the financial payment for selling on Shabbos, whereas in the case of the Mishnah, you're not. After all, there is no Issa Daraisa. The Mishnah seems to be correct. How do you explain the Braisa that there's an Issa Daraisa that allows you to apply Komle Midiravimne when you just sell it on Shabbos? So Rami Rechama wants to give us a suggestion. Amar Rabbi Rechama, ki tanya hi the potter, this Braisa that says you're potter, so the Issa Shabbos over here that is a Komle Midiravimne that would be Chayiv Misa for is when this sale occurred in the following way, where the person who's buying the item from the Ganav says to him, Ba'omer lo, he says to the Ganav, I want to buy this item from you. Let's say this set or this shor that you stole, I want to buy it for you, and I'll pay for it with my figs. Go cut down my fig on Shabbos. Akots lecha te'ena mitena si. Go and cut down my fig over here on Shabbos, and in this way, we will go and pay for this item that you want to sell to me. V'tikne li ginevusech. And I will then acquire, when you cut down this fig, so that will be the payment. You have my fig, and I will have the shor of the seh. So it's essentially a kinyan chilupin over here. That's how this would work, according to many of the mefarshim. So that's the transaction. And at the simultaneous moment that you're doing the mechira, you are okates the tana. You cut down the tana, which is an issa deraisa. And that's why the braisa says that you're potter because it's komle midirabine. You chayv misa for doing this act of kitzira, of cutting down the tana on Shabbos. So that's an issa deraisa. You chayv misa. So therefore, you're potter mitashlumim dalid vehei. That's how Rami Rechama wants to explain the braisa. The Gemara says, wait a second. Arme, the kivon, the chitovale kamon, the dina. If this person who cut down the fig says, I'm not giving you back your fig, and I'm not giving you the property, ha ha, I chopped you over here, so lo amrina le zil shlim. So if you took him to Beisdin, the chivin d'chitov alei kamon bedina, lo amrina le zil shlim, the Beisdin wouldn't make him pay. They wouldn't make him give the item that was stolen over, and they wouldn't make him give back the fig. So therefore, because the mechayev menashu, because he's chayev misa, so Beisdin's not going to get involved with the financial parts. So therefore, ha mechiri, na mi la mechiri. In that situation, it's not a valid mechira. So you wouldn't be chayev dal vehei anyway, because that mechira cannot be, so to say, forced in Beisdin. If the mechira can't be carried through in Beisdin, and it's not a valid mechira. So it wouldn't apply for the din of dal vehei. So the Gemara says this answer that Rami Rechama gives is not a good answer, because that's not a real mechira. If you go and exchange the tain and cut down the taina, this fig on Shabbos, so the sale is not a real sale in that situation. So what is the case where the Braisa says that you would be potter? You have komle midirabimne. So the Gemara says it's the following case. El Omer Rapapa. Rapapa says the din over here, the case was, but Omer lo, when the person who's purchasing this shor or seh from the ganav says to him, zrok ginevu sech l'chatzeri, throw the shor or the seh into my yard. In other words, do a din of hotzah. It's in the Rishus HaRabim, and bring it into my Rishus HaYochid, and therefore that's an Issa Daraisa on Shabbos. We therefore would have Komle Midirabimnei, and when the shor or seh comes into my yard, v'tikne li ginevu sech, then simultaneously with your act of carrying from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid, for which you're Chayiv Misa for, so at that same simultaneous time, I will have acquired the Mechira, and therefore it's a Komle Midirabimnei situation. That's how Rav Papa understands the Braisa that says that you'll be potter from Dal Behei. So one says, Kiman, who does this Braisa go in accord with? This is in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, a different opinion than Rabbi Akiva they were before. And this is a famous machlokus between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim in Shabbos called Kluta Kimi Shuhun Chodamya. The Gemara in Shabbos is talking about if, let's say, Reuven throws something into another Rishus HaYochid, but it passes through a Rishus HaRabim. So Reuven throws it from one side of the street to the other side of the street. He has a house on this side of the street in Rishus HaYochid. It goes into Rishus HaYochid on the other side of the street, but it passes through a Rishus HaRabim within 10 tefachim of the ground. So therefore, Rabbi Kiva says, we view that as a two-step process. It went from my Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim, and even though it didn't stop there, it's as if we take a photo and we say that we stop it, and as it's in the Rishus HaRabim, within 10 Tzvachim of the ground, we view it as Kiluta, as if it's contained over there in the Rishus HaRabim, Kimi Shun Chodami, as if you did a Hanocha. So there was an Akira from the Rishus HaYochid. We view this as a Hanocha, a putting it down in the Rishus HaRabim, even though it never stationary in the Rishus HaRabim. We took a snapshot over here and say it's as if it's stationary. Kiluta, Kimi Shun Chodami. That's what he gives opinion, and therefore you'd be Chayiv from throwing it from the Rishus HaYochid into the Rishus HaRabim, even though it never stopped in the Rishus HaRabim. It keeps on going into the other Rishus HaYochid. So Rabbi Akiva's opinion is, the Omar, Kiluto Kibishu Hun Chodamya. We view that as being set, a Hanocha, in the Rishus HaRabim. The Chacham disagree, because Dikra Rabbanan, they don't hold like that. They say, Kluta Lo Hun Chodamya. It's not as if it's set into the Rishus HaRabim. It ended up in the Rishus HaYochid. Your Akira was in Rishus HaYochid. The Hanocha was in a different Rishus HaYochid. That's not an Issa Daraisa. So the Gemara says, "Kivin the machu lechotze beiso kana." Therefore, as soon as it comes into the courtyard, when the ganav is throwing the shor or the set into the courtyard of the person who's buying the field, kivin the machu lechotze beiso kana, and therefore linyan Shabbos lo mechayev ad lamatil yara. But there's a problem that as soon as it's coming into the airspace of the courtyard, the sale is done because the courtyard acquires it in terms of the Kenyan, but there's no Hanacha yet at that point in time, according to the Chacham. According to Rabbi Akiva, Klut Kemishu and Chodamya, so there's also an Issa Shabbos at that point in time. So Rabbi Akiva is in accord with his Bryce, according to Rabbi Papa. But according to the Chachamim, the acquisition of the field is as soon as it comes into the airspace of the yard, but the actual Isser Shabbos, according to Chacham, is not Klut Kemishu and Chodamya. It's only when it actually lands on the ground. So the Shor Aseh that's tossed from the Rishus HaRabim into the Rishus of the person who wants to buy the field. So the minute it comes into the airspace, that's when the field is acquired. But that's not when an Issur Shabbos occurs. The Issur Shabbos only occurs when it lands on the ground, according to the Chachamim, when it's Huncha Mamish, not Kluta Kemish Huncha, but it has to be Huncha Mamish. So therefore, it's not coming with the Rabbanei, because the act of the acquisition occurs earlier, when it's in the airspace, and the Issur Shabbos only occurs when it lands on the ground. So therefore, according to the Chachamim, this would not be a case of coming with the Rabbanei. Only according to Rabbi Akiva is a case of coming with the Rabbanei. So Linyan Shabbos, L'machayev, the Matiliyara. So this can't be the Chachamim. That is what the Gemara says, that Rav Papa's answer only works according to Rabbi Akiva. However, the Gemara says if you want it to be according to Chachamim, then you could say that the Kinyan was only established in the following way. If the person who's buying it from the ganav says, Ba'omelo, when you throw your shor aseh into my yard, I don't want to acquire it until it lands on the ground. Ba'omelo, lo tikni li gnuv yisaech ad shetanuach. If he specifies that, no, I don't want my courtyard to acquire it. I only want it when it lands, not the airspace of my courtyard, but only my courtyard itself. So then, even according to Chachamim, the acquisition of the shor or the seh occurs simultaneously with the Issur Shabbos, because according to the Chachamim, it has to land on the ground. You have to have anocha. But the way that they're now phrasing that the kinyan will only take effect, I'll only acquire the shor or the seh when it hits the ground, not when it hits the airspace. So then that would work even according to the Chachamim. Fine. That's the teretz that Rav Papa says. It could work only according to Rabbi Akiva, or as we explained, it could work even according to Chachamim. Rava gives us a different teretz. Rav Amar, in fact, Liolim Karami Rechama. No, we don't have to schlug up Rami Rechama. Again, what did Rami Rechama tell us? Rami Rechama was of the opinion that the cutting off of the Te'ena was the simultaneous Kitzira at the time of the acquisition of the Shor of the Seh, and therefore was coming with the Rabbanei. And we had tried to schlug that up. Rapapa schlugged that up and said, it's not a sale that wouldn't be able to be, irreversible. It's not enforceable in basin, so therefore it wasn't a good sale. So Rava says, no, we could say it's a good sale. Yolam Krami Rami Rechama. Why is it a good sale? Because Esnan, we know, Rahman al-Islam, if a woman is committing znus with a man, and she takes for her services, let's say, a shor or a seh, so that's called an Esnan Zora. You can't go bring that shor or seh as a carbon. So Esnan Osra Torah, the din of Esnan Zona applies even if Rachman Litzlan, somebody has an incestuous relationship with their mother, Lo Aleinu. Afilu Bo Alimo, the din of Esnan Torah, Rachman Litzlan, a horrible situation where a son gives his mother a shor aseh in order to have relations with her. So even though this is an Isser to, of course, have relations with your mother, nevertheless, this shor aseh has the din of Esnan Zora. Now, if the guy didn't want to go and pay the shor aseh to his mother, V'tova Alei Kamon Bedina, if the mother says, listen, you didn't pay me the shor aseh, I'm taking you to court. So, mi hamrinam, would the court say, me, I'm reading Leah, with the quote saying to the son, Kum Avlo Esnan, yo, go pay your mom the shor that said that you promised to Rachmon al-Sam for this incestuous relationship. Of course not. So therefore, even though it's not something that would be acquirable in court, you can't litigate over here for this Esnan Zona. Nevertheless, it is an Esnan Zona. Ella, even if this woman were to try to take her son to court to get the shor said that he didn't give it Rachmon al-Islam, lo amrina le zil habla, the court would not say, go and give it. Nevertheless, kivan d'chi yavla, when he does give it to her, if he does give it to her, it is the din heavy esnan zona. So too, we can reestablish the din of Rami Bar Chama that we had rejected, Rava says, because Hochanami, in this case as well, afogav dil inyan tashlumim, we can't go and take this person to court and say, I demand that you give me this shor aseh that I acquired with this ta'ena, because you did something wrong, so the you can't go and collect it in court. Savagad delin in tashlumim. Itava bedina. Come on, lo amrina lezil shlim. You can't say give him back the fig or give him the shor aseh. So nevertheless, even though it's not a irreversible sale, nevertheless, Mara says that we continue on daf ayin aleph omud aleph. Nevertheless, afilu hachi here too. Kiva the call makne le bahachi. Even though it can't be collected in court, so to say, to get the fig back or to get the shor aseh. Nevertheless, Kivan the ha, they call makne le bahachi. It is in fact going to work if there's no fights about it. Havi mechira. So we do consider it a valid sale. This is a good break point. We'll stop over here at the two dots. Mitzvah will pick up here tomorrow. Everyone should have a wonderful day. Shalom al Yisrael.